Yo, yo, it's your boy, What's On Key.
What's up? This is Legendary Tank.
What's up, world? This is Danny Evans.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Nikki Ellis.
What's up, y'all? It's DJ Santo.
And now rocking with the Roundtable Discussions Podcast.
Roundtable Discussion Podcast.
Roundtable Discussions Podcast.
With Chris P.
Chris P.
Chris P.
Chris P.
Turn it up. Turn it up.
Got fuego.
What up? It's the Roundtable Discussions. It's your boy, Chris P. Here for another episode. I'm here joined by my friend, entrepreneur, philanthropist, humanitarian, motivational speaker, motivational Chris in the building. What's poppin'?
What's going on?
Chillin', man. It's weird because I'm in your establishment.
It's our establishment.
It's a very, very dope spot here. How you feeling, man?
Bro, I'm feeling blessed. I mean, you out of all people know the journey to get here.
I know for a fact, yeah.
So, I feel very blessed. I feel thankful, man. Like, we've been grinding at this shit for over 10 years. And I think it was, like, what, 2-3 years ago we met?
Yeah, it worked.
And we were in a whole different part of our journey at that time.
Yeah, facts.
And this was always part of the vision, though, that we had. And then to actually make it come to fruition so quickly where we thought, you know, it could have been, you know, maybe another 10 years for something like this to come true. And then we had enough resources, had enough, you know, people and teams to put it together where now it's here. It's literally live.
So this is that you speak of is like the studio?
Yes, I Daydream Studios.
So was that the vision, though? Like, from when I first met you, you was just pushing Kenny's music and motivational shit.
So,
when
Kenny started the music, I always knew it was going to be bigger than just his music. You know what I mean? Because he's my family. This is our legacy. Like, we're doing something bigger than just this one moment in this song or anything like that. So that's why we started with the clothes. We started with the whole movement in mind. And then as it continued to grow and we saw that music obviously wasn't that profitable because you can't make money off of just music.
No money in that shit. No money.
So we started finding other ways to make profit. You know what I mean? And that came from merchandise. That came from shows. That came from production.
Word.
And learning all these different skills that we were using for the music, but was actually monetized in other ways.
Word.
And that's when we was like, me as the businessman, I was like, damn, like Kenny, we learned how to make videos. We learned how to do photo shoots. We learned how to make graphics. I mean, let's just do this for other people, too, and make money. And that's when we started saying, like, oh, we could build a media agency. We could be the label. We could be Def Jam. We could be these guys. And that's where the idea came from. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a Jay-Z studier. I'm a Tupac studier. You know what I mean? So, like, seeing how they were able to own and run everything that they created was my mission. And when we went on tour with Gotti and learned the way Murder, Inc. set theirself up, it was the same way. So that's why it all made sense. We had all that training. We learned all these things while we were on tour. We seen, you know, hundreds of studios like this. You know what I mean? But, like, in their own vision and their own light. So it gave us all these different insights of, like, oh, this is how the music department would run. This is how the podcasting department would run. This is how the photo and all that. And then that's how it came to be. You know what I mean? Like, I always told you I wanted, like, a McDonald's. I wanted, like, a Walt Disney World style. Yeah. So this is not nowhere near that yet. We're not there. But this is the first physical location that you can put a face to it. You can put a movement to it. You can put the whole thing to it.
And it actually looks nice.
So, like, I appreciate that.
Because during this journey, you tried. I don't know what your status is. You still got that shit in New York?
Yeah.
In the barbershop?
Yep. They're remodeling it, though, right now.
Yeah, it's been about 5 years. close that shit up. Then you had Bridgeport.
Mm-hmm.
That one was fucking, I don't know. That shit,
it looked good. It was good. It was just bad energy in there and stuff like that. But overall, that one was the spot that I learned the most. Because that was where we had the most trials and tribulations.
Word.
You know what I mean? Like, that really, because the thing with it is, like, every spot that I've had before this also was in a underprivileged neighborhood. Let's put it at that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to do this stuff to, I make money with rich people. You know what I'm saying? Like, they pay me for my services a good dollar for me to go and shoot that movie for them with Kenny and do that. So we're not trying to be in Westport, and we want that office eventually, but right now we're trying to impact the kids that are like us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The ones that are like me and you that they could be making the money we make if they just knew how to
do it. Yeah.
Apply. You know what I mean?
Which direction to go.
Exactly. And I feel like there's not a lot of voices like that in our neighborhood and, you know, where we come from. Like, so specifically from hip hop and, yeah. and like that viewpoint of life. Like it's us versus the world. Is you know what I mean? We're the underbelly. We're trying to mm-hmm. come up. So that whole concept is like what we stand for, and this space is for. It's like a no judgment zone. Come here, be free, be as wild as you want to be, and let that animal loose. You know what I mean?
Well, please contain your animal.
I feel like you want to let loose. You've been waiting to pop this shit though. Talk to me.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, yo. I'm under the weather. Anybody can tell if you're listening to this. But before I left, I was like, yo, I gotta go to the studio and chop it up with this nigga before I head back to Florida and shit. So I had to come by here and, you know, see the spot.
Dope.
But good shit though. It looks really, really good. Y'all did a good job. When did this shit happen though? Because this shit literally was like overnight.
Yeah.
I know Kenny had hit me one time. He's like, yo, when you get a chance, FaceTime me. I want you to see the studio. I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? Like, that shit mm-hmm. literally came out of nowhere.
So
how long from, when did you guys officially open? Are you guys officially open?
No, we're not officially open.
Okay.
So right. So we're going to have a mayor opening and right. have everything.
So like ribbon cutting,
everything, okay. news, everything.
That's dope.
So that's going to be coming later on in this year.
Okay.
Right now, it's more of like showing love to the people that have been through the journey with us
right,
and
right.
allowing them to get the sneak preview,
that's
see
dope.
The experience, you know what I mean, as we build it. Because the goal is you come back next week, it's not going to look the same.
Right.
We're going to be developing, we're going to be growing, we're going to be doing next level shit. So that's the concept of how we're trying to move the business. So our initial goal is to open up after our birthday, which is November 30th and December 1st, so at the end of the month.
Oh, shit, mine's the 16th, so it's after our birthday.
Yeah. There, everybody, yo, my whole team is like that. Yeah, that so that's 2 weeks.
You're not Scorpio, though, right?
Nah, I'm a Sag.
Yeah, so fuck you.
Yeah.
All right, so this is basically like the soft opening.
Exactly,
pause.
Exactly.
Just like, you know, everybody's coming in.
Yeah, everybody's checking it out. We right now just creating content, getting more footage, more stuff of us here doing things, and then the goal is to, once it's really open, that there's going to be a 24-hour, like, McDonald's. People could come here, and they could just get their content needs done as soon as possible and be out the door as soon as possible.
So to be clear, there's not going to be food 24 hours.
To be clear, there's not going to be food. There's going to be photo, video, and audio
content
production.
Creation. Don't come here really thinking it's McDonald's.
We got snacks for paid sessions.
Also, this water wasn't free.
It's complimentary. There's a difference.
Yo, man. Now, I'm happy what you guys did here. So, when I first met you, you were, like, big on, you know, books and shit. So, what are you reading these days?
Honestly, bro, I've been reading, like, a lot. I just got married. So, like, I've been reading up. Thank you. I've been reading a lot about, like, self-control and patience.
Like, it's that fuck the money, man. I need to know how to stay shut and I don't know, keep walking sometimes.
Yeah, yo, because, like, honestly, because, like, my wife is, like,
that's hilarious.
Like, my wife is, like, obviously a blessing in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm from the bottom and she's from the top, so yeah. It's difficult.
Yeah.
And, like, me, like, being able to describe my emotions and, like, how passionate I am about this stuff and, like, our business and, like, we live and work together and everything,
tough.
It's a lot. So, like, I read the book Superior Man by, I forgot his name.
That sounds misogynistic.
No.
I don't
know. But it's basically The Way of the Superior Man. It's
okay.
It's a book by Nipsey Hussle. It's not by him, but he recommended it.
Oh, okay,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I listened to it after he passed.
Gotcha.
And that's why I got on to the book. And essentially the book is basically talking about the man's ego and women's ego and, like, how we have to do this dance, you know what I mean, to build ourselves and be able to essentially build your dreams, build your whatever the hell you see for yourself that's perfect. How do you do that with the person you love? You know what I'm saying? And that's, like, as the way of the superior man is to be, like, looking at it from a godly perspective. Like,
word.
Everything's happening as is. It's chaotic, whatever, but it's for a reason. I'm going to handle it. You know what I mean? We're going to get through it and that type of mentality. And that really helped me be able to transition through all of this time, like, being away from my woman, being, like, having those failures happening with those studios and the situations.
Yeah.
Like, all those things are very difficult to deal with as a man, as, like, your pride. But at the end of the day, like, I would be dead if I didn't do this. So, like, all of those tribulations don't mean anything to death. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could do anything. I got people that I lost to this shit.
Yeah.
So why can't I, you know, overcome? So that's the way I look at the whole situation. And that's the way I look, like, now with my wife, with Kenny, with my team here, is more like, now it's not just me putting up all the money, all on the risk, and all everything on me. Yeah. Now we're balanced and we're pushing together as a force, and that's what's helping it look like this and become so well polished. You know what I mean?
The more people involved, the better the reward. Honestly,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
The risk isn't all on your shoulders.
Exactly, you know, and that's like, you know, there's. The best thing you could do is just find someone that you love, like that's your brother, that like money doesn't define your relationship,
word.
And build the business with that person, because that's the person that's going to not fuck you over. And that's the main thing that I've been able to do with Kenny and with my wife now is like, I trust them with my life.
Yeah.
So I know I could trust them with my business. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't have those same sentiments. I think business is tough when you got other people involved. I don't know. But I don't trust people the way you trust them either.
That's exactly. And that's the thing, though. I've been hurt by a lot of people because of that. And word. I've been, like, Kenny's not like that. You know what I mean? And my wife is not like that. I'm like that, though, because of the way I got into a car accident, and I literally was, like, this far away from dying. Like,
what was this?
Like, 3 weeks ago. Like, with her in the car.
Are you serious?
Yeah, bro. We almost completely died and everything. Like, I went into a flatbed, like, and I went... Basically, I was going head first. I went straight like this to the right. And when I realized I wasn't going to be able to clear it, I basically just jumped in front of my wife because she was wide open, ready for the shot. Pause. And I was like, I'm done. Yeah, pause.
She was wide open, ready for the shot. Holy shit. Yo.
I can't even talk about my death with this nigga.
A fucking bookshelf. Holy shit.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Okay, look, don't buy a car from Chris. It's just, I'm scary as fuck.
Thank you, right, model club.
So you were, you know, fearless and selfless and jumped in front of her?
Bro, but literally, I jumped in front of her, and literally, me doing that saved my life because the flatbed corner piece just cut right through where my seat was, essentially.
Oh, shit.
And, like, took that whole side of the car. And, like, she came out gashing with blood out of her head, and I was, like, crying, nervous. Like, it was the worst accident I've ever been in. Like, it was scary as hell. And all I was thinking, like, was, like, yo, it was slow motion. Like, when it was happening, it was, like, I saw, like, that she wasn't ready. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I had to come through. So, like, when I saw that, like, all I could say is that, like, those moments of me being hurt by all those people that I tried to work with and they fucked me over and all that type of shit, mm-hmm. is it all came back in that moment when my angels came through for me, like, right. And were like, just go save her so you don't die, bro. Right. And, like, did that. You know what I mean? I say that's my angels, my peoples, whoever is, whether it's a God, an energy, a love, whatever that is, that's what saved me that moment. And that's what allowed me to continue to push through in all these times. Because, like, that wasn't me. Like I was in the vehicle, and the other joint, the flatbed, it wasn't even a thing for him. Like, he wasn't even hurt. Like, you know what I mean? The guy didn't even feel it. He had a minivan on top of the flatbed.
That was my minivan.
Oh, man. RIP to all the minivans.
Facts. You want to talk about death stories, nigga?
Yo, and the airbags didn't go off, but it didn't hit the frame. That's why, but it was still scary.
So this wasn't an insurance job, just to be clear.
Nah.
So you trying to get out of car payment or something? Like, fuck it, let me go head first on a flatbed.
Nah, yo, but that really.
I'm glad you're here though. That sounds crazy.
Yo, and that really, really just made me like. It made me mad passionate of, like,
and
I have to go
on
all
social
in.
Media at all, right?
I posted it on my Insta story, and that was it. Like, just, like, thank God I'm blessed.
My bad. I'm glad you're here, man.
Yeah.
I don't be on social media all that much, but that's some scary shit, though.
Nah. And I've been in other accidents, like, many accidents and things that I was scared of, but,
maybe
like...
Maybe you need to get the fuck off the road.
I mean, it's that we drive, bro.
No, it's you.
Nah, you drive, too.
It's not the flatbed. It's you. your wife must be, like,
I drove 1,000 miles in 1 week. This week.
Yeah?
This week, I drove 1,000 miles.
All right. We're going to see whose dick is bigger now?
No. There was one driving
1,000 miles each. Bro, there was one week. This is back in May. I drove from Florida to Detroit. Detroit to New York, New York to Connecticut, Connecticut to Detroit, Detroit to Florida.
But how many miles is that, Chris?
4,000 miles in 4 days, nigga.
4,000 miles?
In 4 days. That shit was serious.
Yo, wait, all right. Real talk, like, yeah. I want to talk about this real quick because I don't get nobody that drives like me besides you. Like, real talk, don't you feel like the world is way smaller when you're driving like this? Like, at that amount of mileage?
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, damn, 1,000 miles got me all the way to Detroit?
Yeah, yeah, bro, because, like, I feel like a lot of people, especially people from the hood, don't ever leave a fucking 10-mile radius.
Nah, for sure.
And, like, that lack of understanding of, like, you're more than this environment is the fucked up part.
Niggas in Washington Heights, they vacation at Jones Beach. That's it. Niggas from Bridgeport, they have condos on Seaside. You know what I'm saying? Beachfront property.
Beachfront came up from the block to the block.
That's what it is.
So that whole thing is like that's the trap. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? Like if we're not driving, like you got the car. You already drive it to work and to your house every single day.
Like people don't, like you said, the world is smaller. You don't know what $120 could get you.
Or bro, I got a Prius right now. This shit for, I'm telling you, I drove 1,000 miles. I paid no more than $50.
You got the Prius after you fucked up the other car?
Of course.
It sounds like an insurance job now. Now it sounds like an insurance job.
Stop. That's all the insurance companies. We're trying to get sponsored.
That's crazy. That's that white Prius you put up?
Yeah.
That shit is ugly.
That 01, that but baby's
got at least the gas is good.
Yo, 300,000 miles.
Yeah?
And it runs like it has 0 miles.
So you got it at $299?
Less than that. This is the game, baby. I was spending like $45 of gas every 2 days, essentially coming back and forth.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
wait, from here to Bridgeport?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I'm not doing this no more. Because I had a V6 at the time. Yeah. And then I was like, when I went to Cali, I drove a Prius out there. And I went all over LA, like everywhere. And I spent like $40.
You know, like niggas in the Heights would be so ashamed of you.
Why?
They'd be like, our fucking cousin Chris got a fucking, he drives a fucking Prius.
It's all official, though, because when you were a white woman, everything plays off. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, with me by myself in the Prius, I wouldn't have been comfortable. Yeah. But, like, with her, it was like, it's her car. I'm just driving it.
Yeah, word. That's why you start wearing hats and shit.
Exactly.
You're like a fucking Uber driver.
You gotta play the role, bro. Yeah, I'm over here. I'm over here in downtown Danbury, making a lot of business friends that I gotta be very corporate with, and we're in the Chamber of Commerce. We're trying to do all this stuff. So
it's you can only get to the Chamber of Commerce if you have a Prius.
Anybody exactly. These are the facts.
That's the only way you get there. Like that's the only way you get a ribbon cutting and all that shit.
Exactly. Like, I'm trying to tell my friends, not my niggas. Guys, this is the way.
So the niggas in the Heights is pissed off. Your dad must be super proud. Where you grew up again? With the Weston? No, not Weston. Willen, right? Willen? Some shit like that.
Norwalk.
Oh, yeah, right. Norwalk.
On the line of Westport.
A block away from Willen or some shit. That's crazy, yo.
Nah, bro, but that whole concept is like, we just, it's all to come up, bro. You know what it is. We not nowhere that we not supposed to be, and we not nowhere where we want to be still. We still want to be somewhere way bigger than this. And my whole thing is right now, I'm learning to do the balance and do the dance, not only with my wife and with Kenny and with everybody we work with on a day-to-day, but these people that I'm doing business with.
Do you think the way to balance it is having your wife involved in the shit you do? Because I noticed that being in a relationship, it's hard to do a lot of the things I want to do. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you like got to bring people with you places. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, so like, how do you, because it's like, all right, like, we could either spend time or we could go do what I want to do, like, go
so
do a podcast.
The way I do it, we're hurt, yeah, which is difficult. This is a very difficult, especially for people like us, because we want to do our stuff all the time. So it becomes a problem. What I realize is that I've been doing more of detaching myself from whatever I want to do and allowing that to get go her way. And then when I feel that pressure of like, yo, I need this, like, then it's all me. You get what I'm saying? And that's pretty much the way I've done it, because I've noticed that it's easier for us to go towards them than them to come towards us at certain things. At certain things. Like, these little things, like, if you want them to come with you to do stuff, I've always basically compartmentalized. Okay, we're focused at this time of the day. We're focusing on
studio stuff. Yeah. At this time of the day, we're focused on car stuff. At this time of the day, we're focused on personal. And that's the way I'm able to, like, balance my life better and be able to chill with her on her time. Do when it's personal time, we're watching a movie, doing whatever she want to do, whatever. Yeah. But when it's studio time, it's studio time. I'm in the studio.
But you're here, like, every day, though.
Exactly. But that's her office. This is her office, too. You know what I'm saying? Right. So me and her, when we're here, we're doing two different things than when we're doing the car business, for example. The way our dance is, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes when she's here, she's the masculine, because this is what the book talks about, being the masculine, the feminine, and then the divine. There's three stages.
So you're feminine.
I'm feminine as fuck, bro.
Yeah?
Hell yeah. That's every man. Every man has a feminine side. Every man has a masculine side. Every woman has a man, and a feminine is the same thing.
What makes a man, like, what's your feminine side?
My feminine side.
Only on the weekend.
Yo, you really contemplated life that day. Like, yo, should I crash this shit? Or do I really have to wear this lingerie for my woman?
Damn, I gotta think about it.
You're like, oh, fuck it, let me save her.
Nah, but yo, listen, I'm gonna tell you this, bro. I've never been this open with any woman in my entire life. Yeah. I've never been this scared of anything in my entire life, of like how exposed I am, my business, my life, everything.
Word.
And I signed the papers. I got the ring. You know what I mean? It's official. So like, I'm in a situation where like, she's here. It's different from everybody else. Like, she is from a different country. She's here in my country for me. Like, so, like, there's very specific things that I need to do, you know what I mean? Like, to provide for the situation. So that's what I'm in, you know what I mean? So everyone's situation is different, and I tell them, read this book, The Superior Man, because it helps with patience, and it helps with all that, and it helps you understand the way they think, because that's one of the things that I never understood. Like, as men, we've been literally thinking the way we think our whole lives.
Yeah.
Like, no one else, you're not in no one else's head. So she's been thinking the way she's been thinking her whole life. So what happens is we're actually, it's like, you know, the black and white thing, the
yin and the yang.
The yin and the yang. Like, so you
that's
got
like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So I'll be clear.
So the yin and the yang, like, that is a literal thing, because she's seeing the view in one point of view, you're seeing it from another point of view. And like, until y'all could bless each other with that balance of perspective, you won't be fully satisfied, and neither was she. And that's what I realized, is that every time when she was upset, I wasn't happy. Even though I was trying to do my music or do whatever, I wasn't happy because she wasn't in the moment happy with me too.
Word.
So I had to learn how, all right, be patient. Why aren't you happy that I just want to do what I love? And then we had to go through that conversation. And it took a lot of those conversations. And I still have those conversations. But then it comes back to the question, all right, am I building my life with this person, or am I building this moment with this person? Because those are two different questions. If you're just building the moment, then you're just having fun and y'all in the moment. Everything's as it comes as it goes. Right. She could be mad. It don't matter. But if you're building a life with this person and you're trying to, you know, kids, life, house, everything, that's a lot of money. That got to be secured. You know what I'm saying? So that's where, like, it has to make sense for both. It's just like a business deal. It got to make sense for her that she's comfortable with my podcasting and my music, and it's comfortable for me that she's not bothering my podcasting stuff at the same time. Because then now we're in a good business agreement that everyone's happy. I kind of took the same approach that I have for business, that we took for music, that we took for merch, and I just applied it and see how could I be the best. I don't want to be good. I don't want to compete with these local studios and these local niggas. Like, my wife is not going to have a regular husband. She's going to have the best husband, because that's what I want to be. You know what I mean? Like, that's my mentality towards all of it. Because if I want the best wife, I want the baddest bitch to do the best thing for me.
Word.
How is that going to happen if I'm not doing the same? You know what I mean? And that's the fucked up part of, like, before, people would treat women like that. Like, they would treat women like, oh, they owe us something as men. Like, we're the men.
Yeah.
They owe us shit. Like, bro, my girl has a HR master's degree. Like, she's organized way more than me. Like, I'm a genius. I'm a street genius. Like, I could come up with shit, and she could never beat me on that creative side. But on an organizational side, on a side that I wish I had, that I wish I could sit there and analyze things on that type of level, she got me smoked out. So that concept is, I'm not going to be able to compete in the best business world if I don't have that balance in myself and with my partner. Because they're out there, Facebook, Apple, all of them, they balance as fuck. They pay everybody to be balanced. You know what I'm saying? So over here, everyone broke and trying to balance. And that's the big difference. You know what I'm saying? When you coming up and you don't, if you know this, when you in the situation as a business owner and it's the last minute, nobody else want to go, who's going to be the one that does it?
Word.
You know what I'm saying? So if you don't got that person that could hold you down in that moment and say, yo, you go to the left, I'm going to go to the right, let's split and get this, is basically impossible. You get what I'm saying? So that is the foundation of what I want Daydream to be. It's like, we're everyone's team. We're not, like, this whole shit, I'm your team. You know, you could call me whenever. You call me whenever. Yeah. And that's the whole point. Like, everyone that's ever done business with me and Kenny and my team on a genuine level, they could fucking hate us in that moment. Me and you had moments like that. Right. You could hate me in that moment, but on a longevity point of view, you're going to see that I'm a real one. I never did you wrong, and I'm going to be loyal to my cause.
Word.
That's it. I'm loyal to my cause. Absolutely. And if you're destroying me for my cause, then I'm sorry. Even if it pains me, I got to go back to my cause. Yeah. And that's the whole perspective of how we try to mold everybody that's with us. It's like, these kids, bro, I got a little intern in here, 13 years old, bro. He come from Bridgeport. He's out here in Danbury.
Was he in a bike?
What?
Well, how's he getting over here?
No. He lives over here now. Oh, okay. But he got displaced because his parents was bad and situations and stuff, bro. And it's like, I met this kid literally outside playing football. I gave his class a tour of the space. And I was like, if one of y'all serious about doing this, come back with a proposition. This dude came back in an hour.
Word.
I'll tell all my friends to come here every day. I was like, that's enough for me, bro. Yeah. Come through. That's all I need, bro. Hustle and hunger like me.
Word.
And I'm going to give them the opportunity and give them the infrastructure.
And it's free labor.
And it's exactly, bro. And they're happy to be here, though. You understand? It's not even, these kids don't have what, like, think about it. If me and you would have learned to communicate, to be able to do business at an early level, how much more advanced would we have been?
I probably
would have
dropped out of high school.
Exactly. Me too.
For sure.
You see what I'm saying? So that whole concept, like, these kids out there, these upper echelon kids that got the money and got all that shit, they don't got that worry that we got to just survive. Like, this kid can't even grow up in the same neighborhood he's been his whole life because it's crazy-ass neighborhood, and then his family's crazy inside of that neighborhood.
Word.
You know what I mean? So if you got the neighborhoods against you, your family's against you, your friends against you, you know, mom and pop in the corner store are against you, everyone's against you, where do you go to fucking live your dream and be happy? That's where do you do it? If everything is poverty and misery.
That's very true.
You get what I'm saying? Like, the YMCA used to be that. You know what I'm saying? But, like, that's, no one goes there. That's not cool no more.
Nah.
Like, true. So it's like, what are these kids doing? They're doing dope. They're doing all this crazy shit to numb the pain because they don't got no creative expression. Word. And that's my biggest fear because I lost my people like that. You know what I mean? Like, how can we avoid them from being in the streets and doing this dumb shit and being in here making podcasts, talking about the stuff that they love? You know what I mean? And finding new ways to make money. The same way they could find some shit on the streets and make a quick $100, me and you could teach them a couple ways to make $100.
Absolutely.
Legally. Legit. Smart. You know what I mean? So that's really, like, my vision and my point of view, bro. I don't see enough light in our hood and in bad neighborhoods. The places that need it the most don't get it. That's how I feel. Like,
that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, you see the biggest church in Westport and Darien, but you see 100 broken down churches in the hood.
Yeah, that's true.
How does that make sense, bro?
That's a very good point.
It don't make sense to me, bro. Like, there'd be homeless people, and then I work for a food distribution company that throws away 40% of the food. How are there homeless people starving?
Yeah, that's insane.
Yo, you go down, you see Bridgeport, hundreds of buildings vacant and no property. Then there's homeless people outside of those buildings.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense, bro. Like, the world, like, it's like, that's the part that's fucking me up. Because I'm like, yo, how is it that there's people like us that we trying our best and it's so difficult for us? And then there's scumbags out there making a billion.
Word.
You get what I'm saying? Like, and not helping no one. Like, they're just eating all the profits, throwing away all the food, throwing away all the merchandise, manufacturing
not
products, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, the little guys like us that's scrapping for the food, we got enough decency to be like, yo, I've been where you at here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, like, that's my type of life. Like, I know how it feels to not have a dollar, $1. Like, so I know how it feels to give that $1 to that person that doesn't have it. And it's like, these rich people and the people that do business in America, bro, they have no sympathy for that person that's never felt that $1.
Yeah,
they literally just, you never felt a dollar? Get the fuck out of my face. I don't even have time to speak to you. That's the way they're at. So our people have a very, like, steep hill that they're trying to face because they never had the dollar. Mm-hmm. So like, how are you gonna enter the conversation where you're not even, you don't even got the valid to get in?
Yeah, true.
That's what's happening. Me and you are in this thing, and we're like, we're fucking fighting for our lives in here.
We're.
This is our fight for our lives, literally, our kids, everything. And like, these people, they don't even have a chance to get into this fight, bro.
True.
They don't have a minivan, they don't have a cargo van, they don't have the insurance, they don't have nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, no one even talked to them about it. Your dad talked to you, my dad talked to me.
Word.
Who's talking to them?
True.
That's the thing. People are okay with telling a 101, yo, I'm going to tell you the secret how you can make $1,000 real quick. But they won't do it on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
They won't do it on YouTube and just for free let niggas know. And that's my whole thing is I'm gonna let everybody know because I don't have nothing to gain from it. You know what I'm saying? Like me and my peoples did this all by ourselves. You know what I'm saying? I had a bank lady come in here the other day. She's talking about financing and like getting a small business. No, a bank lady.
Oh, I thought you said a bag.
That is a bag lady.
So I thought she was selling bags.
So she came in here like talking about financing and how to get small business loans and all that type of stuff. And like she looked around and she's like, so like how are you guys financing everything? And I'm like, it's all cash. We paid for it. She's like, what? Oh, I never seen that. Like this much equipment, this much stuff paid for. You get what I'm saying? And it's like, yeah, well, when you make $1,000 and you put $990 back into the business, and you try to figure out how you're going to survive off of this next $10 for the next week, it ends up this. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, now I need to learn the next step because I'm, like, they're not playing on that budget. They're not playing on the $10 budget. They're playing on the, I sold it for $10 and made $990 for me.
That's true. That's very true.
And that's the part that our people don't get, bro. The wholesale, like, that's my favorite word. And that's the word that I'm going to say at every interview now. At every.
You like wholesale, I like ho.
You too much. Yo. Nah, but, like, the word wholesale is something that I feel is not understood by people like us, and it's very well understood by the business community. And when you hear wholesale, you know you're saving 25% off or more.
Word.
And that concept is the problem that our people don't understand. They think when they talk to people like us that are colored businessmen, they say, oh, I could get the wholesale from him. But when they talk to Rick from down the block, they feel like it's impossible to get the wholesale from him.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And that's the problem. If we keep doing that and we're taxing our own people and not taxing the other people, we're never going to make a full quantity of what we're supposed to make on it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's what I learned. Like, learning to do business in this environment with all these people, I've learned that we have the advantage, bro, because we already been hustling our whole life. We already know, like, oh, if that bottle of water costs $1 and, like, that's retail, I'm not paying you more than 25 to 50 cents for wholesale.
Word.
So if you already know that mentality, you could do the math, then when you come out here and doing business on a real professional level, you're able to hang with the best of them because you know what they're paying for, their services that they're giving you. And that's really all people have to know is, okay, yo, Chris does this service for me. All right, if I were to do that service, if I was the one doing it at wholesale price, how much would I do it for? Okay, that's a fair rate. All right, everyone wins in that deal. I'm fine with paying that.
My bad, awkward silence. We have another guest coming in, so we're trying to find her. Niggas do, I stop talking.
God bless America and no place else. It's the only place where a Dominican from New York City could come up to Danbury, Connecticut with another Chris and have a podcast.
Two Dominican Chrises. That could be an interesting show.
Yeah. Oh, I want to tell you an idea for a podcast me and my wife are doing.
Oh, yeah. Doing one?
A new
have
one.
Have y'all started recording or not?
I don't want to tell you because it's a secret. But the name of the podcast is Black and White.
The name of the podcast is So the yin and the yang?
Yeah, but it's going to be like, oh, sorry, it's Black Man, White Girl.
That's your podcast?
Name.
So the Dominican Spanish guy is running with Black Man?
Yes, what do you think about that?
I think it's cultural appropriation.
Oh, that's a good question, because that's why the podcast exists. I'm going to have you. I want to know, am I Black? Am I Spanish? What do you see me as?
I see you as Spanish. I have a theory. You know, I don't think Black people fuck with us.
I agree.
Honestly.
At certain levels.
certain levels. I feel, you know, and not even trying to be funny, but I asked a question when me, you, and Domino had recorded a show one time. I was like, I mean, do y'all consider us black? And he was like, I mean, on the regular, no, but if all else failed and it's white versus black, then yeah, we consider Spanish people black.
And that, but that's the thing. Me, I see it like that. I see it like...
I don't see it like that, though. I see it like, yo, like we... I don't even see white and black.
I don't, but this is the thing.
I see, like...
Humans.
No, I see... I see background, like, you know what I mean?
Culture.
Okay. So if me and Domino grew up in the same neighborhood, which we didn't, but if we did, and he's black and I'm Spanish, I don't feel like I don't have a right to say nigga.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And if we're going to give everybody this, what is it, transsexual, trans this, trans that, mm-hmm. then why can't I be transracial?
True.
I was raised by a black man.
Facts.
So I was raised in the culture. You know what I'm saying? So why is my card yanked away?
That's what I mean. Because I'm dark and because of how my, like, I love hip hop, like, I see myself as a black man. But then at the same time, I know I'm a Spanish man. At the same time, I know I'm a Spanish man. I'm Dominican and that's my culture. You see what I'm saying? But, like, if I were to say that Dominican culture wasn't as impactful. Or quote unquote as impactful as hip hop culture, I would be lying because it's as equal. Like, exactly. I love both. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that whole thing is why I want to make that podcast and that conversation started, because even my wife, is she white or is she French?
Yeah, true.
You see what I'm saying? Like, people here will see her and look at her and be like, oh, that's a white girl. But then she speaks and then, oh, that's a French girl.
Word.
It's a different culture and a different mentality of how they treat her after they see that. Distinction. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Same thing with me. Say, see me, and they're, oh, that's a black guy. Yeah.
I see Arabic.
Okay, you see Arabic. Some people see Chinese. I don't know. But,
like, Japanese.
So that whole concept is like, everyone's judging the book by the cover. You know what I'm saying? They're seeing them right there, and they're just saying, okay, that's a black guy. That's a white girl. That's whatever.
No, so, I feel you on that for sure.
So that's why I want the podcast to be, I want to interview people. I want to actually, like, learn. Like, I want to go on a journey. Am I black? Like, in my roots, are Dominicans black? Like, because I feel like even within Dominicans, like, how much they hate Haitians and all that shit, like, it's stupid.
Yeah,
like,
there's Dominicans that, you know, that resemble, like, I'm half Dominican. My dad is a little lighter than me, so mm-hmm. he looks white.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got, you know, you're darker, but there's Dominicans darker than you.
Yeah, that are Haitian black.
And they kind of don't fuck with each other.
No, they would literally claim that they are not black. And, like, they're black, like, blacker than black people.
Yeah.
And, like, they will say they're not black. And it's, like, that distinction of, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, me... I don't give a fuck. I'm white when I want to be. When I'm in the right room, I'm white. Hello, Bill. How's it going today? I'm great. You too? Great. Let's do it. You see what I'm saying? But I don't give a fuck. Call me whatever the fuck you want to call me. I'm a human being, bro. And I got things that I want to do in this world. And all that bullshit of black man, white girl, you know, Spanish, Asian. I don't know. Bro, all of that shit is getting in the way of us actually making shit happen in this world, bro. And I feel like... we, as a people, should get past that bullshit and get to the shit like homelessness and fucking food and what the fuck, bro? Like, why are there people, billions of people dying of hunger and we're throwing away billions of pounds of food? Like, it doesn't even add up. Like, this shit makes no sense. So instead of talking about all these things like that are irrelevant and just are things to divide us, oh, his skin is different from my skin. Yo, what are the things that unify us? I like hip hop. I like Spanish food.
Word.
Let's chill. All right, that's it. That's if you think about it, any community that's like about real passion, whether it's a gaming community, photography and models, videography, rappers, all this stuff, they have their stuff, their community goes beyond race and beyond religion and beyond anything. It goes to the core of what they believe in that thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's what human life is. Like, you think a fucking, like, a bear don't know the difference if the other bear is a polar bear or not.
Yeah, word.
You know, it's just bears. Like, uh-huh. That's it.
That's
so that whole concept is like, we are creating this bullshit stuff to give us reasons. Oh, he's a Donald Trump fan. I'm a Kanye. You know, we got to fight. You know, all this shit. Like, bro, all right, you like that person, I like this person. Let's talk. That's my whole point with the Domino conversations, all these things. It's like, we should not have to get so upset that we can't conversate.
Word.
That's the part that makes us look ignorant and makes us not allowed to be in these rooms with these people and make these billion-dollar deals. Because even me, as myself, I get too emotional and too worked up and frustrated that I have to walk away. Yeah. And that's the part that we have to, as a people, have more conversations like this so we can train ourselves to get uncomfortable with these conversations. Because if you could get uncomfortable, then maybe we'll be over this fucking racism shit and we wouldn't still be like 50 years later after King and shit talking about Trump and racism. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, bro, like, all right, obviously, like, we're doing some shit wrong. Let's figure it out. Like, and I think it's platforms like yours, Joe Rogan's, all these people that allow the true voices of the people to be spoken. You know what I mean?
Word. That's a fact. That was good, yo. I like talking to you because I don't remember what started it. I don't remember, like, I don't remember the first thing we talked about, which is good because we touched on mad shit, you know what I'm saying? So we talked about bears, talked about your wife, car crashes, buying cars,
studios,
Priuses,
drives,
being white, black, red, whatever. I definitely feel what you're saying. And if I don't, I'm just saying that so we can just segue to something else. So I Daydream Studios, what's the next thing? Is this, you're always talking about scaling and scaling business. How do you scale this? What's you really want I Daydream Bridgeport or I Daydream Stratford or Fairfield and other locations and shit like that?
Of course, yeah. The goal, we've already been getting asked that if we're a franchise, which is the best part. So that's the next step, is to franchise it and make it. Right now we're creating the curriculum to work with the public schools and stuff like that, so we could build like an after school program, essentially start to build an online
that'll be ideal,
exactly, and then start to build an online university, which would be the Daydream University.
So like the Trump University bullshit that
exactly, but
pay $5,000, you get a certificate.
Exactly. But with us, we're not teaching you real estate and how to buy stuff. We're teaching you how to record music, how to produce videos, and how to do the stuff that we make money off
of. You think that's still a good business when you have places like YouTube?
Explain.
Like, I mean, so for instance, a few years ago, before I started my podcast, I was going to go to school for radio. Mm-hmm. And, I went there. I'm like, oh, okay, Full Sail University, $30,000 a year, whatever the case is. And then I said, or I can start my own podcast and build my own portfolio and try to see if I can get a radio that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So with YouTube being such a popular thing on how to do whatever it is you want to fucking do, you still think there's a good market in this business?
Well, I definitely do, because the simple fact that, think about what you just said right there. Right now, there's no in-between. There's no one teaching you how to create for YouTube. Yeah. We're not trying to compete with YouTube. We're creating for YouTube. Yeah. So we have a YouTube room. So literally, we're here. The digital age has already showed you that it's not worth it to pay $30,000 for Full Sail. Facts. So why would you do that? Rather you pay $100, come here, record your podcast like you just said. You get what I'm saying? So that's the whole concept. We're building a curriculum. So now, instead of paying that $100 to pay one of us to run the podcast for you, do this stuff, you learn how to do it yourself. And you start charging people to come here.
Word.
So now you're making money with us. You see what I'm saying?
That
makes
sense.
The whole goal is to grow your business within our business. That's how we see it. Every brand and every business that we work with, they're not we're not working for them and they're not working for us. We're partnering and we're building both of our brands. That's the way we look at every podcast, every artist that we work with, and things like that, because we know that the platforms are going to change. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all those things, they're going to change. But the way we communicate photo, video, and audio is not going to change. People are always going to look at things, whether it be on a screen, on a newspaper, on a billboard. It's going to be looked at.
Word.
You see what I'm saying? So we're going to teach you how to create things that are getting looks and getting sales.
Word.
That's what we're going to teach you. Or we're going to teach you how to communicate with your voice, so you know how to do phone calls, so you know how to do podcasts, so you know how to do press releases and things like that.
Gotcha.
So you know how to communicate yourself. These are things that it don't matter what the platform is in this moment, they're going to be timeless. You see what I'm saying? And we're trying to be basically like a trade school, like a mechanic school or something like that, where you're hands-on working with us, with the clients, getting things wrong on the job,
Word.
Learning with us. You know what I mean? And that's the way we're building this. It's not going to be like, it's that perfect sweet spot. We want to be somewhere between, you know, $1,000 to $10,000, not $30,000 and above, you know what I mean, something cheapy either. Something that's quality, that you could come in and you could feel like, yo, I know how to use this piece of equipment now. Like, that's a value. I can go buy that and I can go sell that to people as a service.
Word.
That's what we want to do. You know what I mean?
Oh, said it all.
Chris P, I bless you, bro. Thank you so much for coming through all the way from around the world, always traveling. This man, this is the number one hustler. Like, I be thinking I'm a hustler, and then he'd be like, I just got 75 routes. What have you been doing?
You know, it's funny. I was telling my boy, Don't Be Mad. He got his own podcast coming out. I did his show earlier. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, there's people who be like, yo, I'm busy, and you see them everywhere. Like, in the sense of they're at the bars, they're at the clubs, you know, but they're always quote-unquote busy. I said, nigga, when I say I'm busy, I'm fucking busy.
Yeah.
Like, I could be here for 3 days running crazy for 70 hours mm-hmm. and then back to Florida.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Do what I got to do there and then come back and run the same shit like crazy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
and that's, but that's the thing that people don't see that.
It's a gift and a curse.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a day like today, I'm sick as shit, but I'm like, God, I got to come and, you know, bless the studio with a podcast and chop it up with you.
And we blessed up. Let's get it.
So.
Yo, and shout out to Don't Be Mad, too, yo.
Yeah,
he just did the mix and shoot. My boys was over there. We did a whole bunch of stuff with him. He's been working hard, man. I like his work.
He got a very dope concept. Like, and I was telling him, I said, you got something special. It's gonna take a little bit to spark, but mm-hmm. when it sparks right, that's just gonna be through the roof.
Dope. Nah, he got a lot of connections and he's been consistent. So I
can see the mix and shoot becoming like, you know how they do like the barber battle expo.
Yeah.
And that, so I can see the mix and shoot be something that big.
Yeah.
Photographers all over the place.
I agree.
Bad models, you know.
Yep.
I told him, I said, that's if I was a rapper or artist, that's why I would definitely want to do my video shoot.
Yeah, be competing. No, they did some fire videos the other day.
I know Rook was there. That's what he was telling me. He was like, somebody asked, but he was like, you know. Niggas is talking about $75. I said, nah. That's like minimum.
That's disrespectful.
You want to do it here? I mean, he's already, you know, leasing the space or whatever for the event. Like, all right, 300 at a minimum.
Yeah.
Like, cause you're using our backdrops, whatever. And I mean, that's easy bread. Right,
and the
there.
Girls are there and everything too.
Exactly, it's easy shit. So shout out to him, man. He's doing a good job. But let people know the social media and where they can reach you for cars.
Facts. So hit me up on iDaydream Studios for the media. If you're looking for any photo, video, audio, or marketing, that's the best place to hit us on all platforms, iDaydream Studios. And if you're looking for cars, you hit me up at Daydream Auto Club. That's Daydream Auto Club. And you hit me up there. We got the best cars for the best prices. I'm going to hook you up.
But what's the best car you've gotten your hands on? As far
this
far
RV that I bought.
You really bought that shit?
I really bought that shit.
Is that really like for you and your wife, or are you trying to?
No, I bought it for me and my wife, and then I just flipped it because it was so quick to flip.
Oh, yeah.
I flipped it in 3 days.
What's the most money you made on a flip on a vehicle?
$5,000.
Was that the other day?
Yeah.
Run them pockets, nigga. Right fucking now.
That was nice.
That's the setup.
Nah, but that, like, really, bro, like, the RV business, like, honestly, between me and you, like, I think this is going to be...
That's going to be what you're going to start looking for?
Bro, because, like, first of all, the prices, like, it's ridiculous. Like, at the auctions and all that stuff, you could get them for probably under $5,000.
Yeah.
These things are valued, all of them, over $10,000.
Word.
All of them. Doesn't matter which one you find, it's old. Like, it's valued over... Because it's a house. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're not selling a car now. You're selling a house.
You can park that shit anywhere.
Yeah, and then these people, the same way they finance the car, you know what I mean? Lease it, whatever. They do the same thing with the crib. But they have to give me enough of a down payment for it to even... Me to move it. So it's like this thing, and then like my girl's family back home in France, they literally own a RV park, but like 100 RVs, but it's like... Nothing like an RV park from out here. It's like a resort style
where?
With a pool, like everything, like river in the back, is dope as hell. So that concept is like my version of a mini Disney World. Where? You know what I mean? So if we could start building that slowly, buying a couple RVs at a time, putting on a lot, we get 10 acres in Boston somewhere, we just throwing them on there.
Where?
That's what I'm trying to do next, slowly.
That's what's up, yo.
Hell yeah, bro. Be an RV park owner.
So be Daydream something, right?
Exactly. Daydream Park Central, some shit. Daydream Central Park. Oh! Yo, shout outs to Chris P.
Yeah, shout out to me.
Roundtable Discussions. What is this, episode 175?
No, unfortunately. You know what's sad? When in 2017, right, I'm at 100 episodes, and we're in 2019, I'm at like 102 and a half. Nah, this is like 114, 115, so I'm like, it's sad. It's fucking disgusting. So I vowed on Don't Be Mad's podcast that I'm coming back stronger. I'm just going to do like I normally do. Any move I've done, anybody who knows me, barbershop, stores, podcast, all my shit was done under the radar. I just went and figured it out. Like, I'm going to just, boom, push it out on some Beyonce shit. So With the podcast, that's what I'm going to do it again. I'm just going to drop episodes consistently, let the consistency speak for itself, and not give a shit about how, you know, how the chips fall. Perfect. You know, and just try to, you know, get back into this Connecticut market. Now that I'm here so much, it's like I might as well get back to it, you know.
Facts. And we happy to have you, bro. We missed your voice out here.
Yeah, you guys have a good spot. I can see my – I hate the ride, but – if I gotta get a hotel out here, don't worry.
You know, oh, that's my weekend spot out in Danbury, the lake house.
I gotta jump on Tinder, find me a little Danbury shorty. Not too far from here. This area I like, though. I like this area. I like where you guys are. I can see the vision blossoming here. Unfortunately, like you said, where you were in Bridgeport, it's an underprivileged area. And it's sad because this what you guys have here, I feel like should be in those type of places. Because
that's where the most creativity is gonna spawn from. You know what I mean? Exactly.
But to see this done here is very nice. You guys made it look good. Yeah, you guys look like y'all getting money now.
A lot of if you need any photo, video, audio marketing, please hit us up.
They got bills to pay, man. Hit them up. Check them out. Motivational Chris. Is that the IG?
Yeah.
So are you going by motivation now? Or you just shorten it?
No. Motivation is like, you know, for the young kids, you know, the ones that don't like to say the whole name. They, you know what I mean? They're young. Motivational Chris. That's a lot. So your motivation. I'm like, what up?
I don't know if I ever told the story before, but I have your name saved on my phone as Motivational Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I was at the bar and I'm chilling, you know, drinking, taking shots, and, you know, and your name just pops up on my fucking phone. And the person I was with just looked at me weird, like, what the fuck? Who the fuck is, why? Who's Motivational Chris calling you at fucking 12 midnight on a Friday? Like, that shit just looked weird. I was like, I gotta change this nigga's name to something, like, you know. Yeah. And that motivation, that's not gonna work. Daydream Chris, that just seems like, I don't know.
Like,
Chris don't sound bad, though, but.
A lot of people call me Daydream Chris, but I like Motivational. That's my favorite, because I feel like a lot of the new people that have met me since here and since everything, like, they just, like, this is the most motivational guy I've ever met in my life.
You are, yo. Honestly, you are. And that's why to see you come from when I first met y'all to, like, even both you and Kenny where you're at now is dope to see. Because that's, I already thought you was on a very good level then. And now it just shows that you're in a better level. And your trials and tribulations, you know, from us, you know, having a rapport with each other, I've seen it, you know, have the highs and the lows. So mm-hmm. to see it where you at now is dope.
Yeah, bro.
You know, and you should never, ever get too high or get too low, because exactly. You never know where that next come-up comes from.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I tell myself, at least.
Nah, you know, and we're in the business world, bro. You can make $1 million today, lose two tomorrow.
That is so fucking true.
So it's all about keeping cool in both scenarios. Yeah, like, I'm good, whatever. I know how to make it.
That's very true.
So
yeah, I appreciate y'all having us here. You want to give the address out so everybody
can come out. 7 National Place, Danbury, Connecticut. If you ever need anything, we're always here. We're always open. You just book a session and we'll open up the doors for you. Thank you.
7 National Place sounds a lot better than fucking 21 William Street or some shit. You know what I'm saying? So,
in the corner of Martin Luther King and Boulevard.
You know you getting killed at that studio session. Yo, follow me if you want to see such a boring life that I live. I am Chris _P on Snapchat and IG. I don't really post shit. I don't really be on it. But you can follow me there. And follow the podcast page at RTD Podcast. I won't promise y'all an episode every week, but we'll just see it happen. Thank y'all for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Got fuego.